They'll always ask about your personal, oh, why are you here? Are you married? Are you single? Mm. Are you, you know, you'll get very personal questions like that, which you would never ask.
Yeah.
And that's... again, lawsuit. if we were back home.
Yep.
But they ask questions, quite intimate questions, like, you know, how did you come to Denmark? Why are you here? But yeah, just be prepared. I would say to people, don't put that on your CV. People think they have to put where they're from, how many kids they've got. You don't have to put that on your CV, but you might be asked that in an interview.
That's Leslie Petersen, the CEO and founder of English Job Denmark. Her mission is to provide career guidance for internationals moving to Denmark and help companies retain their international talent. Leslie is back to share her expertise with you on What Are You Doing in Denmark? The podcast that helps you make Denmark make sense. Hey, everybody. We are back with part two of our conversation with Leslie. And my name is Annie Samples.
My name is Derek Hartman. And we're so excited to continue the conversation. We have so much to talk about with Leslie on finding a job in Denmark, working in a Danish workplace, and cultural differences that we may encounter along the way.
And as we get back into questions, thank you to you, our listeners and community, for sending in your questions and stories. We appreciate it so much. And you can join the conversation by connecting with us on social media. Links are in the show notes and description. Yeah, so networking. Obviously, that's a huge, huge component. How do you do that here in Denmark?
The great thing now versus when I arrived was you've got Facebook and there's so many expat groups. But so you can find out events that are online on Facebook or Eventbrite, but there's so many things that are popping up now by people thinking, I want to network, but I'm not sure how to network in a way that suits me, because it tends to be quite structured. But there's a lot of groups out there. I happen to be in one called Professional Women Networking in Copenhagen, where the Copenhagen branch. And originally, I joined that because I thought I'd get clients through it. But actually, what I found is it's a fantastic network to meet other people doing different types of roles. So even though I don't get commission people, but if you sign up for something like a group like that, you're going to meet other professionals and maybe in some of the organizations where you want to work or doing a similar role, or they're running their own business, would like to give you some advice. And then all the events are based around career or personal skill, upskilling. And there's so many of those. So I would do the whole social thing, because when you're chatting to people, maybe with a little glass of wine at the networking session at the end, or having a little bit of dinner afterwards, however the event is, you get to know people a little bit more on a normal, authentic level than sending somebody a message on LinkedIn who doesn't know you. So I would just sign up for events, go to Danish class, go in the evening, because in the evening, tends to be people who are working through the day,
right,
and then they're going to trying to upskill with their Danish in the evening. And again, they might be working in an organization you want to work in. And then you get the opportunity to then say, well, how did you get in? You know, what are they looking for really? How should I apply? And then you get all these different ideas of how to basically network for your career, really. But do social, and then I'm going to obviously promote myself here, but we do workshops and webinars. And the best part of it is right at the end, I get everyone to get their phones out and we all connect on LinkedIn.
Perfect.
And I say to people, look, just connect with everyone in the room. Because when an organization is trying to fill a role, they'll try and fill it internally. And then they say to everyone, hey guys, we're looking for a new communications manager. Who do you know in your network? And it's not necessarily just the communications team. It's the whole thing. And there's sometimes a financial reward if you find the next member of staff. There's an incentive.
Right, that's so true.
So make friends with everyone and anyone you meet.
Yeah.
Because when they're posting on LinkedIn, you think, I met you at a workshop. Would you give me an idea of how did you get into your organization? And if it's an international, you want to help each other.
Yeah, and you've seen a lot of success with that strategy?
Yeah.
Cool, that's so encouraging.
There's loads of ways,
Great.
And in the show notes and description, we'll have links to your website and to your contact so that people can find some of the workshops that you've mentioned and hopefully take this up themselves and apply some of these skills.
I want to go to one.
Right. we did get questions about, you know, why is it so hard for internationals? Yeah. I think we've touched on that.
Yeah.
Another was, as you mentioned, you know, internationals, we want to help each other. We got a question asking if Danes have some bias when it comes to hiring non-Danes, perhaps in not doing so.
I think we all have our own biases, right?
Okay,
I mean, we do. And I think for Danes, they're always thinking, how are they going to fit into the team?
Right.
So 20% of us, the final interview is about, they know the technical, they know you've got the experience and skills, but it's the other 80% is, right, who's going to fit in the team best?
Right.
And honestly, I think if it's a Dane, they've grown up here, they understand how we work, they understand Danish work culture, they understand how things work.
Yeah.
And I think always they're thinking, oh, maybe they're going to be the better option. And then if it's from, you know, if you're British, they feel like they know us. you know, they watch our series, they watch our, you know, we have the same comedy, you know, that type of thing. But I think if it's from a country where maybe they've never been, they're thinking, oh, is that culture going to fit with ours? So I think there's maybe a bias there. And so it's basically, we have these three rules at English Job Denmark. It's, you know, can you deliver on the role? Can you fit in? And will you stay? And trying to communicate that on your CV and cover letter and on your interview. And then it's talking about, you know, I've got my bike, I'm integrated. No, I've started my Danish lessons, got my bike, and now I'm eating holbol. I'm eating that bread that I really don't like. But, you know, hello, even after 16 half years, my husband's like, really? My husband's Danish. But it's saying that, you know, you're really are here, you're settled, you know, you've got your kids into Danish school. Mm. It's how do you convey that you're going
to
stay?
So you just come to the interview, offer everybody like some salted licorice and herring or something. Oh, perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And they'll be like, wow, she's really... She knows.
She's got it. She's one of us. So it's that type of thing. But I think,
talk about your summer house.
Yeah, summer house. And you know, I've been to Bornholm. Yeah. You know,
I still have not.
It is beautiful.
That's why I'm not getting a job. I'm just kidding.
But it's how you communicate that. Mm. Yeah. But I think as well, it's about just, but don't lose yourself. I always say to my clients, don't lose yourself who you are. Right. You know, you bring a little bit extra from wherever you're from, whether it's foods, whether it's culture, whether it's just, you know, whether you can do Bollywood dancing. I mean, who does not enjoy that at a party, you know, at the Christmas session? Why don't I do a little Bollywood dance? You know, something like that. You're bringing something a little bit extra. So don't lose yourself. But it is showing that you understand how things work here and that you would be an asset to the team by doing your research, people.
Yeah.
Well, who's there already? What do they talk about? What language do they use? What tone of voice on their website or what social media? So really trying to understand the organization. So look, I am the best fit for you.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I remember early on, especially as I was applying for jobs, I was making Danish friends, making those connections. I would often hear that word culture fit.
Yeah.
And to me, that sounded like an alarm almost because that's something that I couldn't imagine. To me, in American HR perspective, that sounds like you're waiting for a lawsuit to hear. This person wasn't a good culture fit. What do you mean by culture fit? You know, so to me, that sounded very jarring, but I do hear your explanation of it, and that makes a lot
It's
more sense.
About like the longevity that you're going to be here and them making that investment. That makes sense, actually.
And fitting in on the team.
It's really expensive to recruit. Oh, so they don't want to think that after 3 years you're going to leave. They have to know that you're not going to move again with your partner or however you came here. So it's communicating that. And it can be simple things like, you know, everyone has lunch together. Like, I'm so used to England just sitting at my desk. I'm too busy. Really? I'm going to sit at my desk. And now it's like, okay, 11:30, which made me laugh in that first job. Right? Where are we going here? No, oh, it's lunch. I've just had my breakfast. 11:30?
I'll have another coffee maybe.
But we're all going together. Who's going to be on the phone? I mean, it was just weird for me. But it's like, no, go out. Sit with your Danish colleagues. Talk about whatever series is on the TV, whatever it is. Let them ask you questions about where you're from. But really, you know, if they're doing a Friday drinks, even if you don't drink alcohol, you don't have to drink alcohol. Yeah. You can just take a soft drink and just join them and just find out a little bit more about how your Danish colleagues tick, really.
Yeah.
And that's how you're going to find a bit more.
Speaking of recruiting, you know, I think a lot of people from outside Denmark are trying to get into the Danish workforce. So what's a way that somebody, you know, that's going to be a big investment for this company, what's a way that a foreigner can set themselves apart and appear as an asset for, you know, a company that would essentially be taking a big financial risk?
I think you always got to, you need to be offering them something that they can't get from here. And you always do because you've maybe worked in maybe three continents or maybe you've worked in Australia, maybe you've worked in, you know, the UK, you've worked in Spain. You know, you're bringing maybe something that's a little bit extra. And that you stand out and stand out for the right reasons. Like you're not bragging about yourself and I'm amazing and look what I've delivered now, 10 million, you know, in sales. But it's about what can you offer that organization that they can't get here? And check the positive list. That's always a good one.
Yeah.
And then what are they looking for? And if you can tick that box, that's your first, you know, that's your first tick and that's your first win. But what are you offering them? And how do you say that on your LinkedIn profile, on your CV, this is what I'm going to bring to you? And again, it's all about the research. Which organizations are maybe moving into Asia or maybe moving into different areas of the world? Do you have culture from there? Do you have the language? What else can you offer?
Yeah.
So it's about maybe setting yourself apart, really.
And you mentioned the positive list. Could you maybe just explain for listeners who may not know what that is?
There's a number of jobs that they really don't have enough people for. And we've talked a little bit about nursing doctors, but there's like engineers. There's even office manager, I think, on the list now, which I always find a strange one when I think of how many clients I speak to, how many people here is looking for that type of role. But there's those jobs that Denmark desperately needs to fill because they may be growing in a sector. And so I always tell people from the outside, okay, what job you're looking for? I often get emails, I want a job in Denmark. Great. awesome. But, you know, what do you do? And then I could say, go to the positive list.
Yeah.
Great start. What are they asking for?
Mm-hmm. And you can find that on newedanmark.dk?
Yes, .dk, okay. Yeah.
So we'll put that in the show notes as well.
Perfect.
Another question we got, especially in applying, is curiosity about jobs that are posted in Danish. Should somebody who does not have much Danish proficiency, or perhaps it's just English only, should they still take a chance and apply to a job like that or pass?
We had a big discussion yesterday because I would say if it's in Danish or you have to work in Danish, then don't bother. And then a few people said, well, I applied, and I rang up and said, oh, no, you can still apply. But they didn't get the job. Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, they're not going to change a culture for you.
Right.
Yeah.
So if the working language is Danish, they're not going to suddenly turn into English just for one person. Mm. And even if that team maybe would say, okay, we'll speak English, at some point it shifts. And then you don't understand it, everything. Right. You're sitting in meetings thinking, have I missed something? Am I supposed to do something here? Mm. So I think until you're at a level where you feel confident and you've got the nuance of the language, I would say don't. If it says Danish preferable, Danish desired, then that's a great question when you pick up the phone. So if there's like a telephone number or an email saying, how much Danish would I hear in this organization? Oh, actually, Danes like to speak Danish at lunchtime. Great opportunity for me to practice my Danish. So that's a little bit different. But if it's in Danish, don't just translate it and then send your application off in English, because just don't waste the time.
Yeah, yours and theirs.
That would be my advice.
What's your advice for somebody who is maybe in a job that has advertised itself as being an English work culture, but then they come to find out that it is actually quite Danish, and then they end up feeling very excluded and isolated? Is it worth sticking out, or are there any things that they can do in order to attempt to change the, environment?
I mean, I think if the office language should be English, then I think they have to speak to maybe at least their surrounding team.
Yeah.
And say, do you think we could, until I feel I'm up to speed on Danish, could we have our meetings at least in Danish?
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm missing things. And then maybe have a word with HR or something and say, look, when I applied, I have a friend actually who they decided halfway into her her project that the organization was going to move into Danish.
Oh.
And she was like, great. Can you pay for my Danish lessons? So that was one. And they said, well, no, we think you're pretty good. And she was like, no, I just need some more Danish lessons.
Thanks, but.
But thanks, because this is not what we agreed.
Yeah.
So ask the organization for some Danish lessons. Just say, look, I feel like I'm really missing out. Do you think you could fund me some Danish lessons?
Yeah.
And maybe just do lunch in Danish, or could we do meetings in English? Because I actually feel like I'm missing parts of it. Yeah, because that's a tough one, though.
It is, yeah. But it's good to have the confidence to keep people accountable or put your foot down and ask for what you need. Because, it's not about trying to be difficult, but it's, maybe this was advertised and...
I applied for a job once that mentioned that they had snacks and they didn't. So I decided not to die on that hill, but I was a little upset about it. So
Yeah. I would want my snacks. Yeah. I'm a hungry girl.
Where are the snacks?
Question that we get a lot is, I've heard that there's such thing as like hygge racism, and that's something that can manifest a lot in a workplace. Do you find there to be a great deal of racism and discrimination in the workplace here in Denmark, or is that a rumor?
I think if you ask anyone of color, they would all say yes at some point. And I think when they're talking about diversity and inclusion and they're building these teams and organization, I think they really have to deliver on what they're talking about. because you can look at photos of an organization that talks about diversity and inclusion. They're all white men in blue suits, as I say. Right. Yeah. So it's all, you know, it's all the same color. So even when they talked about International Women's Day, which was last Friday, they talked about diversity and inclusion in some organizations, and it was all white women. So it was not all, there was no diversity, you know. And it's, so having talked to a number of friends, that they, sometimes it's these little subtle jokes that they think are funny. Sometimes jokes can be like the 70s here, like 70s England, which was inappropriate and not right. But hopefully we're moving on from that. But they, sometimes those funny little jokes that are just not funny. And they're sort of brushed off. Oh, we don't mean it. It's just a joke. Because they don't think outside of maybe their own environment or who they normally socialize with, shall I just say, with people from not from other cultures. And I do know my clients of color have to apply for 60% more jobs.
Oh my gosh.
So there's, and again, it's about that cultural understanding we're talking about previously. It's about, oh, will they fit in? They're from a part of the world I don't know, I don't understand. And that's this cultural bias that you talk about. I don't feel like I'm the best person to talk about that. But because obviously, but I do know from my friends of color that it can be a struggle or how they're spoken to or treated, or this misconception of who they are because of where they're from.
Yeah, I think it's just such a different environment, especially coming from the U.S., where now, rightfully, many people of color, many women of color are sought out for roles because of the desire and demand to equalize the workforce in the U.S., whereas here, it's just not as much of an issue, and that's if you're not watching in air quotes. But of course, we all need to work, you know, and diversity, especially in the workforce, is such a strength. But maybe in some ways we're a bit behind in Denmark because it's such a small country, you know. And
having an influx of people that are not ethnically Danish is relatively new.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the reference to perhaps using 70s humor is because that's about the time when suddenly there were people that didn't look like everyone or didn't have the last name Rasmussen in the office. And that change maybe is a little too slow, but...
And I don't think, I think as a whole, everyone's heart is in the right place. We just need that education piece a bit more. Yeah, and it takes time.
Yeah, it does take time. But we've got some great voices out there who are speaking on behalf and going into bigger organizations saying, look, this is the reality. And this is where we need to work on. And
I think it's more than a pride float. It's,
exactly, once a year.
Yeah, there are other...
Or International Women's Day, you know, we'll have a token woman or, you know, a woman of color in there. It's about what you're doing on a daily basis for meeting that gender gap, meeting that pay gap. It's all of it, isn't it? But at least they're trying to at least have these departments now that are really looking outward and trying to improve. So we just have to see what comes out of it.
Great. Thank you for answering such a hot button, hot button issue, but it's a question that we get
not
a
something
ton.
To ignore.
Exactly.
There's a reason that many people asked.
I think there's question. Hope there. So how can the typical interview process in Denmark that you find to be different here versus...
I think the process is pretty much the same as many other countries. I don't think that really sets apart. I think the difference is how casual it can feel when you go for an interview here. So it can feel like you're chatting to your mate, for one. And then what to wear? You know, do you wear a suit? Do you wear a suit and tie? Or, you know, if you're female presenting, do you wear it like a skirt or a shirt and a suit? That's what you'd expect in the UK. But here you can be pretty casual. And we had a big conversation on LinkedIn yesterday about it. Like, I wear trainers. You know, with my work clothes, I don't think I even had a pair of flat shoes before I even arrived in Denmark, you know, for work. So it's much more casual, I think, how you dress. But then in the interview, a lot of times you'll come out thinking, oh, that went really well. It was really relaxed. It was very informal. But I think that's the standard. So you feel maybe it was better than you thought.
A little false confidence.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. And I think from being a native English speaker, and I don't mind swearing at all, but in a an interview interview context, effing and jeffing, it's like, sorry, what?
Yeah.
It's a really, it's a, that's a bit of a shocker.
Yeah.
You know, you hear it in the office, it's fine, but in an interview, don't expect that.
Yeah. Sometimes in a conference room setting, you don't expect it either. So, I mean, I definitely can relate. Yeah.
So I would say it's a little bit more laid back, but go in professional, go in prepared, go in and have done all your research, you know what you're doing, go in with your questions and questions that you cannot find out by doing your research.
Yeah.
Because when it's an interview, just think, I always tell my clients as well, it's a two-way thing. It's not just, are you a good fit for them? Are they a good fit for you? And go in with a little bit more confidence.
Yeah, yeah. You know, do what it takes to have that confidence.
Yeah.
Sure. And I don't think it's unique to Denmark, but I think a lot of companies do have, you know, they have an outward projection of, oh, these are our corporate values. And then, feedback, communicate. And then you do maybe find something different.
Yeah.
Or you have a manager who is a bit different. Or the... we had a few questions as well on the work-life balance in Denmark, and sometimes you find that it is a myth in some places where maybe the expectations aren't exactly the perfect stories that you hear about elsewhere.
Yeah, and I think that depends on the organization. Absolutely. And sometimes when they're the bigger ones, you tend to work longer hours than what you would expect, the 8 to 4 type of scenario, that which is this great life balance that they talk about. Also with interview, I would add follow up. Say great interview, thank you, really appreciated your time. And even if you don't get the job, I will say, write back and say, I'm hugely disappointed, but I would say if anything else comes up with my skill set and my experience, I'd still be interested if it's an organization you love, because it just shows willing. You might not be right fit for that team, but you might be a good fit for another. So I would follow up with that.
And do you see people being revisited in that way?
Actually, my last job, I was down to the last two and they offered it to the other person. And then about 6 months, maybe 6 months later, I just wrote and said, look, I just got a great vibe here. I really liked the interview. I really liked the environment. And I said, look, if anything else comes up, just let me know. Actually, would you like to come in for a coffee meeting? Because the previous person wasn't a good fit.
Oh wow.
And then it was like, come in for a coffee meeting. And I was like, oh, is it another job? Like, no, it's the same job. I think we made the wrong decision there.
Wow.
So it can work. But it also gives them an opportunity if there's something else or they're expanding.
Yeah.
Or going, then they've got your CV there.
Yeah. And then that makes it easier for them as well. Well, going back to the informality of the interview setting, you know, sometimes maybe some questions can get asked that people aren't sure about. We had a listener question saying she's been asked if she has kids or if she plans to have kids in interviews. And is that legal?
It is actually illegal in Denmark, but it gets asked a lot. So if you're in an interview environment, just feel how comfortable do you feel? So if they say to you, are you going to have kids? Just say, how will that affect my job here?
Love answering a question with a question.
With a question. Turn it back on them and say, would that be a problem for this role? Because do you not have maternity leave, paternity leave, whatever it is?
Right.
Maybe just turn it back to them or just say, do we need to discuss that in my interview?
Yeah.
And it depends how confident you feel, because sometimes you don't feel confident. You feel like you have to say, you're trying to impress. You're trying to give them the answer that they think they want to hear.
Yeah.
But actually, it's none of their business, really.
Yeah. It can be such an uncomfortable position.
Really is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They'll always ask about your person. Oh, why are you here? Are you married? Are you single? You'll get very personal questions like that, which you would never ask.
Yeah.
And that's... again, lawsuit. if we were back home.
Yep.
But they ask questions, quite intimate questions, like, you know, how did you come to Denmark? Why are you here? But yeah, just be prepared. I would say to people, don't put that on your CV. People think they have to put where they're from, how many kids they've got. You don't have to put that on your CV, but you might be asked that in an interview.
Do you find that impacts whether or not somebody is offered a position, their family plan?
I mean, my first job, I was pregnant and they knew I was pregnant. I was 20 weeks.
Cute. Oh.
But they were happy to take me on for how long they had me. But it might do. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But again, this is what we were talking about before about age discrimination, which is the same in Denmark as anywhere else. You know, we're not having kids. You know, we're past that stage. We're not going to have sick kids on a Monday or, you know, have to pick them up early from kindergarten. So, you know, use that older age force with all the experience we've got, the wisdom we've got, plus the fact that we're, you know, we're not in those difficult early years of when you're trying to raise a family. And it's just fair enough. But, you know, you've got to have a mix of ages in your organization, I think, is always a positive thing.
Yeah, that's such an interesting perspective that you don't really hear a lot, actually.
No.
And that is such a strength.
Oh, I've seen, like, on LinkedIn, native Danish speaker.
Yeah.
And that apparently is illegal because you can't discriminate on country of origin. And like the employment ministry says you can't say that, but people
still see it.
And they often not advertise native English speaker.
All right. Well, Leslie, thank you so much for all of your time today. I think that's all we have for questions, but it has been such a help and so eye-opening hearing more from you.
That was so enlightening, so valuable. Thank you so much for your time and all of your knowledge.
Great. And anyone out there, job seekers, just you know where to come.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for watching and listening, guys.
Hi.
Hi.